Welcome to Conversations with Fifi and TK. Join us as we converse with various thinkers, artists, and experts on creativity, relationships, health, and the quest for a flourishing life. This is your point of intersection between leading-edge ideas, thought-provoking questions, and the creative challenges of everyday living.
On today's show, we have Janet Benedict. Janet Benedict is the National Director of the Canadian Networker and Promotional Consultant for RPM Promotions. She enjoys helping other businesses with their marketing and promotional needs through promotional events, coaching boot camps, monthly meetings, and monthly reports that cater to their entrepreneurial goals. She enjoys helping others think outside of the box. The Canadian Networker is doing events throughout Ontario presently, with the next one coming up on September 11th in Kitchener. Master Networker Janet Benedict, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. I call you that Master Networker because the Cambridge Women in Business and Leadership refer to you by that title. Can you tell me what a Master Networker is, what networking is in general, and why that is important?
Okay. I think I got that name mostly because I've aligned myself with a number of networking groups in the Kitchener, Cambridge, Guelph area in particular. And to that end, I found I just enjoy connecting people so much. So when I meet somebody and I know that their needs could be met by somebody else I know, I do a mutual introduction, and they work out well. And this is kind of what led me into doing the events, because I get a whole bunch of people in the same room and connect them. And I make a difference doing that. And I just light up when that happens. Cambridge Women in Business Leadership actually started a year ago, June. And that is one of my favorite groups. It is all women, that particular one. But it's grown to over 100 members and is really well received in the, you know, the Kitchener-Cambridge area.
Wow, that's great. Congratulations.
Well, I didn't grow it on my own, but, you know, there was a lot of people involved. And Darlene Huff is actually the facilitator of that meeting. I only help her when she needs a vacation on that particular one. So it works out really well, and I try not to miss, you know, any of those meetings. They're held every 2 weeks. Networking in general, I feel it's so important because most entrepreneurial, like small business people, don't necessarily work in an office anymore. They work from their homes. They are on their own. You'll see them in coffee shops with their laptops or their iPads, and they're working from these places. So they don't have that same social interaction with fellow employees. So being able to network really just helps you to meet other people, and these are people with the same needs and desires to grow their business, and everybody can help each other. So networking to me is just huge. It's the way to go. When social media started, networking just took off like crazy.
Interesting. That's interesting. You know, Janet, I wanted to ask you a little bit about business in general and the economy that we're facing right now. A lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners, they find it quite a challenge to be an entrepreneur. You know, they find it difficult to get a business up and running, especially as a one-man or a one-woman show, as
Absolutely.
Often, you know, they're starting out that way. And in addition to that, we've been through a terrible economy. And, you know, it seems like we're just starting to come out of it and things are back on the upswing. I was wondering if you had any advice wisdom to offer our listeners out there who might be interested in starting their own business, but they might be afraid that now's not the right time because of the economy. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. Actually, this is the perfect time. When the economy is down and when companies are laying off people or shutting down their business and moving to other parts, and there's so many people out of work, and that is income that, you know, can't always be replaced by just going to another similar business because they're struggling too. When you have your own business or you're in direct sales or MLM businesses, you really can write your own paycheck. You really can control it. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. You can't sit at home and put hang a sign out that says, I do blah, 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 call me. You have to go out there and find the business. And you have to be different than everybody else. Something you has to be unique, something that nobody else has but you, and people are going to gravitate towards you. That's what I actually teach in the direct sales boot camps, is how to be unique, how to bring out the best of you and put that forward. You cannot just sit and let it happen. It won't. That being said, it is scary, and there are no guarantees. Nobody can tell you it will work, and maybe your first attempt won't work or won't work well. Then you need to relook at it. You know, not everything is for everybody. Not everybody is going to be interested in your product. One of my favorite things to do is to say to people, who is your ideal client? You know, let's reach them. Let's go where they are. And I'll say, so who is your ideal client? And they'll come back, well, everybody. No, they're not. Not everybody is your ideal client. You may wish they were, but they really aren't. And you have to know who you're going to attract, and depending on the business you're in, as to where you network, where you advertise, where you put your efforts. That is really key to being successful in your own business.
Janet, I have a couple of follow-ups with that very insightful answer. One, you've referenced a couple of times here, direct sales and MLM. Would you mind clarifying what you mean by that? And then secondly, I'm interested in knowing what advice you would offer to those who do know what their passion is, but they don't feel as if they have what it takes to execute effectively on the business side of things.
Okay. Well, I always say do what you're good at, okay, and then farm out the rest to everybody else. So if you're good at sales, like direct sales, when I refer to direct sales, I'm referring to the businesses, and I don't really want to name names because there is hundreds of them that a lot of, in particular women, but also a lot of men these days, get involved in to supplement their income initially. That's often why people do it. Some people do it as a hobby, so they're not in it for the making the income, and some people do it because it needs to be an income or a secondary income for them. The MLM businesses, not every direct sales company works that way. That's multi-level marketing, and it's definitely not pyramid or anything like that. What it is, it's as you bring more people into that particular company, then you get an override, which does not come out of the person's pocket you're bringing in. It comes out of the advertising budget for the company most of the time. Each company is different, so I can't speak for all of them. I've checked out most of them, and I did spend 22 years managing people in direct sales through like mentoring, training, helping them get their business going. That's what I did prior to getting involved in the promotions of them. if they start something and they're finding, gee, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be, you know, I need to make a difference, they need to do it. Because to force yourself to do something you're not happy doing, especially when you are your own boss, so to speak, nobody's there saying you've got to go out and work, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever. If you are not passionate, you're not going to do it. You will find every excuse in the book not to do it. You know, oh, well, I promised so-and-so I'd call her tonight, so I don't think I'll go out and do this. Or I promised, you know, I'd spend time with my family doing this, so I'm going to put that off. And they'll put it off and put it off. And they'll mess with it. They'll do some, but they will actually probably hurt themselves in the long run only because they're going to get the reputation from potential customers as not being reliable. Because if you're not passionate, if you don't care about what you do, you are not going to give your 100% to that business. Some people I have found in the direct sales industry represent more than one business, and I've been asked a number of times my thoughts on that. And if it complements the other business you're doing, there's really nothing wrong with it. It's it can often help you. If you are representing several businesses and none of them complement each other, or in fact, as one person I actually ended up doing some coaching with, she represented 6 different businesses, 4 of which were direct competitors of the other ones. So it just didn't even make sense. Like, where does your loyalty lie here? Where's your passion?
Interesting point. Thank you for, one, clarifying MLM and direct sales, and also for those critical insights into finding and focusing on our core mission. Janet, one other question I'd like to ask you. From a female's perspective, do you find there to be any questions, concerns, or challenges that are uniquely raised or emphasized by the female demographic?
I find that women in particular who get into direct sales, they still like to be able, I'm thinking now women that are moms in particular, they still like to be able to look after the household, although that's maybe outdated for, you know, this day and time. A lot of us were instilled with that at a young age. You know, mom stays home and looks after the children and does all the things that a mom should do, and the dad goes out to work, wears a suit, and you know, does his 9 to 5 or whatever he does. And the mom slowly was able to get out there in the workforce and do something for themselves. It became gradually more and more acceptable. I can think back, and this is really going to date me, but I can think back to the 60s when door-to-door people would come around and they were dressed in, you know, suits and everything else. Like women were dressed in suits and with gloves and hats and all these things because it was a presentation and that's how they were taught to do it. And now so much of that is done differently. It's done online. So it through social media, it doesn't take the same type of time and energy that it did, you know, 30, 40 years ago. It does take, commitment. It does take being committed to making it happen online through your contacts. Social media has been actually wonderful for a lot of these businesses because it's connected you with more people everywhere. And if you present yourself accordingly, you're going to get the response you're looking for. I can honestly say I built the connections and the contacts with the Canadian Networker almost totally through Facebook LinkedIn, and going to networking meetings. And now it's well known all over Ontario.
You mentioned that, you know, back in the 60s that gloves and hat were required.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I know.
Up that someone...
I'm getting this visual and I'm going, oh, no. Yeah.
The pillbox hat and the white gloves. But really what you're saying is networking has never been easier.
That's
right. Because of social media, and the rules of the game have changed in terms of how people get out there and make connections with other people, right?
Absolutely.
The question that I have about that is, you know, when people are making that transition from what they know about networking and connecting with other relevant business people in their, we'll call it their real life, as opposed to their online presence,
okay.
People have a difficulty in making that transition to, how do I do this online? I know how to show up at a business function, a networking function, and you know, shake hands with people and say hello and be social and hand out my business card and tell them a little bit about myself. But many people just don't know how to incorporate that online. You know, they're quite comfortable in person, but getting into the sales conversation virtually, they're lost. Can you tell us a little bit about how you do that successfully, or how you bridge that gap? Because you have quite a large presence online, and you've made yourself known not only in person but virtually as well. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Okay, I think it's all about being yourself. I am no different online than I am in real life. I am what you see is what you get. And I think some people, when they go to being online, they feel they have a curtain, if you will, to hide behind, okay? Because let's put this another way. Every day I get up and I do the same things I would do if I was going into an office. I get up, I shower, I do my hair, I do my makeup, I do the whole thing, and I actually have a corkboard above my desk with a tiny mirror on, and when I'm making a phone call or when I'm online, am I smiling? Am I, you know, if I'm scowling, you know, then walk away from it. I wouldn't do that in an office. But I think people, a lot of people will tell me, you know, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're sitting in their PJs and, you know, they're just really not into the business mode. Their mind isn't in a business mode. So they're not thinking of selling in a business mode or presenting their product or service that way. What I see quite a bit of, and I know a lot of people, listeners, would agree with this, is people, they want to sell their product or their service, and I see, I need, you know, please book a party with me because I need to have $300 in sales by the end of business tomorrow, and that kind of thing. And that comes across as begging for business. The sale is always about the customer. It's always about the person you're dealing with. It's not about you and what you need. It's what do they need. They need to feel good, and they need to feel they're the ones making the decision to purchase. And too often, I have seen comments, and I'm sure if some of them would reread them, they would word it differently. The other thing is, even though it's a much more casual pace and putting yourself out there online, you need to still have a professional image. You need to, you know, be correct in how you put yourself out there, your grammar, everything. If you've got, like, your profile picture, you know, don't make it of a donkey. make it of yourself. I'm sure you have one picture that's nice. Or if you don't, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said donkey, but if you don't, make it about your product. Put your product there. But, you know, I see silly things sometimes, and I just shake my head and think, well, how can I take you seriously? Because you don't take yourself seriously. Do I want to deal with you? No. So they have difficulty, you know, presenting themselves, letting people know about their products, offering to spend more time with them, but always make it about the customer's needs. And the one big thing, I just recently did this in my boot camp, a lot of people think they're going to say, I sell this, buy it from me, and it'll just happen. No, it won't. Not most of the time, unless the person's really desperate for that product. There's a thing in sales that's called, well, I call it the 7 touches. And it means you have to actually touch people. No, not touch. I'm going to say that all wrong. But you have to connect with them 7 times before they'll buy from you. Give or take. It depends. It depends on how you are. But people aren't just going to jump up and down and go, oh, goody, goody, goody. You know, she's selling this or he's selling this. I'm going to buy right away. They want to know, are you serious? Are you going to come back? Will you still be doing the same business next week or next month? Why should I deal with you if you're not going to be there for me when I need the product or service? People have choices, and they want to deal with the best. So you be the best. You do something that's different than everybody else. Does that help?
That helps tremendously. It raises an interesting challenge, though. You know, that last statement you said, people have choices. You know, I imagine that one of the causes of anxiety for many entrepreneurs is how keenly aware they are of the amount of competition that exists. You know, if I'm a writer, or, you know, if whatever area that I'm in, there are more people than ever before, you know, doing what it is I do. And more people have means by which they can, you know, get exposure or promote their products. And that can tend to give rise to, a bit of nervousness, a bit of anxiety about, oh, my gosh, can I compete? Can I survive? And so even though I may know in theory, I need to think about the customer, and I need to focus on service and on creating value. Sometimes for entrepreneurs, there's this fear of, oh my gosh, I need to make a sell really fast, or I'm going to be out of business, or I won't be able to continue doing what I love. How can the entrepreneur find balance between doing what they need to do to succeed, which is focus on creating value for the customer, while at the same time, you know, comforting themselves, you know, when it comes to the concerns they have about their own needs for survival, in a way that honestly acknowledges that?
Okay. I think sometimes it's just about, who you align yourself with. If you are an outgoing person and confident about what you're doing, passionate and everything, you'll do fine. But if you're a little unsure or you're new to the game, align yourself with other people that have been doing it, people you're comfortable with, maybe even somebody who's selling a product or service that complements you. Some of the connections I make are between two people in two different fields or two different businesses, but I know personality-wise and product-wise, maybe even their interests, they'll complement each other and they'll help each other. And, I often connect people like that and say, you know, you guys go have coffee and talk about what you do together and see how you can help each other. People will feed off other people's ideas, and there's a lot of energy that can come from that. The thing to do, or the probably one of the challenges, is keeping that energy going. And so we often have to have, you know, gentle reminders of what it is that we can do to help others and what they do to help us, and stay in touch. Stay in touch, you know, even if it's a text message or a quick call or a Facebook note, whatever, to say, how's it going? I really appreciated working with you, and I really, you know, feel I learned a lot of skills from you, and I want to keep that going, and I ran into this challenge. What do you suggest I do? People are willing to help other people. It only, if you help other people, it all comes back. It all helps you.
Cool. That's very interesting, Janet. You know, and I think on a deep down level, we all kind of understand that, but it's the putting it into practice and trusting it that
it
you know we need to do more and more and more is actually do it rather
it is
than
doing
just
it.
Feel it.
Maybe having a business coach that will walk you through some of these things is the way to go. Now, I understand a lot of people, they're entrepreneurs, they're just starting, they don't have that those extra funds always for these things, but there is a lot of free resources you can find online that you can check out, and you can go to as many networking groups, events as you can, talk to other people, see what they're doing. You said, like, the difficulty online. I've also seen difficulty at networking events where people go to them, and because they are a little nervous and don't want to, you know, reach out, or they're scared to reach out, if they see somebody they know, they'll gravitate to that person. They'll make a beeline. They'll run across the room to that person and follow them all through the meeting or evening if it's, you know, one of those stand-up networking events, because it's safe, because then I don't have to talk to anybody I don't know. And that I have found is something that it is an acquired experience. You have to do it and do it well. And one of the things that will help you to break that ice, and this can be online or in person, is to have that introduction that catches people's attention, to have an introduction that has a hook, if you will, something that draws people in and says, I want to know more about you. You know, I like what you said. You don't want to give your life story. You want an introduction that's 30, 45 seconds, but something that draws people in and goes, I'd like to get together with you later and find out more about what you do. That's going to help you in these networking situations in person, and also, you know, in some of the groups. Like if you look at some of the groups on Facebook, some people pour out their whole story, you know, and then another person will tell you what they had for breakfast, you know. Sorry, but they do. And like, okay, that's great. Let's talk about what makes your product or your service better than anybody else's. But maybe your product or service isn't better than anybody else's, but the way you present it and the way you carry yourself is what makes a difference, if that makes sense.
It sure does. It sure does. Janet, one thing that we like to do is ask our Facebook fans on our coaching page, A Better Me. We always ask them whenever we're ready to do a podcast, do you have any questions for this person that we'll be interviewing? And we have a few for you. Now, these are going to be quick fire ones. We're
okay.
Going to run through them quickly and see what you come up with, okay?
All right.
Janet, best book you've ever read?
Tuesdays with Morrie by Mitch Albom.
Okay. Who is the most influential person in the world right now?
I believe it could be Obama, Barack Obama.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your biggest regret in your career?
Not having started sooner, doing what I loved.
Okay. Last one. What's your favorite word in the English language?
Passion.
Passion.
Everything starts and ends with passion. If you've got passion for what you do, for who you're with, everything else will fall into place.
I love your answers, Janet. Janet, before we wrap up, can you first tell us how we can find more Janet?
Okay, my website is under a little bit of work right now, but normally it would be for the promotional products. It's rpmpromo.ca. And for the Canadian networker, it's tcnw.ca.
Okay, and you have an event coming up on the 11th of September, correct?
11th of September, yes. I have an event coming up that will be held in Kitchener. And at this event, people will get to showcase their products, their services, and network. And it's all about networking and building relationships. People aren't actually selling the products. They are making relationships so they can get referrals going down the road, and that's what makes mine different from most events and shows.
And for someone who's interested in attending, how can they sign up or find out more information?
Well, they could certainly they could email me at janet@tcnw, the Canadian Networker.ca. They could find me on Facebook, Janet M, for Margaret. Actually, it's not Margaret, but Benedict. You could find me on there, and just leave me a message. The event is actually posted on Facebook, and a lot of people reply to it through that, and it's called the TCNW September Networking Event.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that information. I encourage everyone out there who will be in the Ontario Kitchener area to attend, to meet Janet in person. She really is a brilliant woman, a very wonderful person. And thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast with us today and to share your most valuable insights. We thoroughly enjoyed it, and we learned a lot today.
Well, Fiona and TK, thank you very much for letting me share. I've really enjoyed this, and thank you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
All the best, Janet.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now, Janet. Thank you.
Thanks, dear.